Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So Carl, thanks so much. He's going to be ministering to us this morning. Carl is one of our elders, and he's been faithfully, thanks, you got it. He's been faithfully serving with us for many, many years. Thanks, Dion. And I'm always encouraged with Carl. It seems like it's never something he's not willing to pursue or take on for the kingdom. Even with a young family, the commitment to the band and the commitment to ministry there and has not changed. And it's really just amazing to see the fruit of their hearts for the kingdom of God. So, Carl, bless you. Let's just pray for him briefly. Father, thank you for Carl and his family, Lord. Thank you for the blessing that they are to us. And we just give you glory for what you're doing in and through them. And we commit him to you this morning, Lord. May the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart, Lord, be truly pleasing to you this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It is, that thing says I have 1 minute left, but that's not true. We thankfully, for those of you listening during the announcements, we have pushed the Swahili service back 2 hours specifically for my message. Maybe just want to thank everybody who threw my pages on the floor. Everybody who came up and shared a testimony. And what I found in it was how people were focusing on how faithful God is and how they are so willing to worship, whether he comes through for them or not, whether things end up okay or whether they end up crashing, they're still willing to worship. And I'm going to probably not have time to go through everything I prepared, which is fine because there's always next time. But I want to just touch on Romans 12, verse 1 quickly. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable, because this is truly the way to worship." We as people often see worship as song, music, and as a musician myself, that is my go-to. I'm like, oh, I like to worship because I like to sing, I like to make music, I like to dedicate that particular area of my life to God. But there are some areas of my life that I do not like to dedicate to God. It's a lot more challenging. So this morning as we talk, I'm going to run through a scripture with us, and hopefully we will get through it on time. 11 minutes, 9 seconds to go. Right. I'm going to quickly show you a really nice set of photos. This is my family. It's a nice small family. It's my beautiful wife who is at the back there with my beautiful son who is starting to learn a couple words. The best one that he says at the moment is nana, which I think he's referring to a banana. And I think he's talking to me when he says that, but that's fine. We got married in 2016. So nearly 10 years already, and just before that, I joined Shofar, and it has been such an adventure and such a journey. It's been so cool to be part of a family that has gone through, just an amazing bunch of friends, being part of small group together. We have friends in this church and friends who have left this church and planted other churches or joined other churches within South Africa. And so we always have holiday homes to go to, but it's so awesome to be part of a family that you can rely on. We heard from testimonies just now, people like, I went to my small group and we prayed together. I know I can go to some of my friends who are no longer in my small group, like Jean, because we weren't too many people for one small group. Like Jean and his family, or Aiden and Deirdre, who are in our small group, and other people who we do life with. And there's just this thing of we get to enjoy family together. And so while my family looks like that. Really, the rest of my family looks like you guys. And it's really great to be part of this church and to be an elder in this church. And it's also great to be able to share this passage with you. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to jump very quickly into a scripture, and then we are going to talk through a couple points. So Father, I ask that you will just come and work in our hearts, Lord, as we read your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that any words that I say will be from you, and that all the stuff that's not from you will just fall to the ground and be ignored. And Father, I pray that you will work in people's hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, come and humble us and make us aware of what your plans are for our lives. All right, amen. Let us get into Matthew chapter 25. There are three parables in the chapter of Matthew 25. They all deal with the coming of the kingdom. And some of us are looking forward to that with great expectation. Those of us who are looking forward to going home to be with Jesus. But there are three parables there. The first one is about 10 virgins and the coming bridegroom. And five of those virgins are foolish. Five of them are wise. The wise ones were prepared. When the bridegroom comes back, they have what it takes. They are spiritually ready, and he takes them home. But the five who are foolish are left in the dark. They do not go home or do not go into the wedding feast. The second parable is known as the parable of the talents, and that's what we're going to talk a bit about today. And the third parable is known as the parable of the sheep and the goats. And I think many of us know this one. It's where the goats are split apart from the sheep. And it's in this area where we're encouraged to live out our faith by serving others and loving others, especially within our church community. It's there that we find the line, you know, whatever you've done for the least of my brothers, you've done for me. And that's Jesus saying that line. We are encouraged to love each other. But the middle parable of the talents is, I think, one that deals a lot with our current lives, with the things that we have. So we're going to read through it. We're going to do it fairly quickly because it printed out really small. But we're going to do it really quickly because I'm now on 6 minutes and 50 seconds. But let's pull up the scripture there, Matthew 25 and verse 14 to 15. And as we read through this, there are three areas that I want you to think about. Talents being obviously your talents, your gifting, the things that God has given you the ability to do. Second one is your time. And the third one is your treasure, your money, your stuff. So as we read through this, keep those three things in the back of your mind and let's hit it. So, from verse 14, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to their ability. And then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had only received 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his money. Next slide. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I have made 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, so I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And the New Living Translation actually says there, let's celebrate together. The man who had received 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and here I have made 2 talents more. So his master said to him, well done. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. But here, you have what is yours. Next. That might be the next one. There you go. The master answered him, you wicked and slothful or lazy servant, for those of us who are more modern. You knew that I reap where you have not sown and gathered where I have not sown seed. So you ought to have invested my money at least with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what little he has will be taken away. Now cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's an intense parable. We think about this in terms of the things that God has given us, and we're like, am I a good steward with that? Have I been faithful with what the Lord has given me? I wanted to go through this in a bit more detail and a bit more slowly, but for those of you who are here, which I suppose is all of you, there's a couple passages that I just want to really highlight. The first one is maybe giving some context around what a talent is. There's a bit of debate because we're like 2,000 years later from when this parable was told, and our references to what a talent is in that time is a little bit choppy. So there's a couple things that it could have been. One, a talent was a measure of weight, approximately 34 kilograms. And that could have been a talent of gold, a talent of silver. It's not very clear from biblical context, but we can take a bit more from context of the time. In fact, if you look in the New Living Translation Bible, it talks about a bag of silver. And if you think now of a bag of silver, you're like, oh, that's a decent amount of money. I could do something with that. So it is also referenced, a talent is also a type of, you know, a measure of money. And it's based on old Greek context, it was about 6,000 days worth of pay. Now, even in South Africa, minimum wage, 6,000 days worth of pay, effectively is the equivalent of 1.5 million rand. I could do with 1.5 million rand, don't know about you. But what the Bible is saying is, let's assume we're taking that that 1.5 million rand or 18 years worth of salary. The master comes and he gives the servants one talent, two talents, five talents. So some dude is getting like 7.5 million rand. The other guy's getting 1.5 million rand. And the expectation from the father is they should be doing something with that. It's not, even the guy who received one talent, it's not a tiny amount of money for him. It's a decent amount of money. And I believe that all of us have been given gifting and stuff and time that is more than we believe it really is. Some of us will look at the guy with five talents like, he's got 7.5 million rand. You know, what am I going to do with my tiny 1.5 million rand? Like, I can think of a few things. We look at people on TikTok and Facebook, and we're like, these people are doing so much with what they've got. So, you know, with the next 2 hours of my life, I'm just going to watch Netflix. You know, it's like, I take what I have, the time that I have today, or the time that I have left on earth, and I don't do anything with it. Or I take the gifts that God has placed in my heart and the abilities that he's given me, and I don't do what I should be doing with it. And I believe that in the scripture, Jesus is challenging us. He tells us that those of us who immediately go to work, we take the talents or the money that we've been given, if we immediately take that and get to work with it, that we will increase that. We will be building his kingdom, and if we are doing that, we are going in the right direction. But if we're taking our one talent and we're saying, God, all I have is 15 minutes today, and so I'm going to take those 15 minutes to come and sit at your feet. I'm going to take those 15 minutes to phone a family member and ask them how they're doing. I'm going to take those 15 minutes, and instead of just wasting them scrolling, I'm going to use it for your kingdom. And I believe that's what we as Christians, those of us who believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, that's what we should be doing with the things that the Lord has given us. There are some of us who default to not investing. We become the people who, like in verse 18, they hide their master's money. So we choose, instead of signing up for that mission trip that we know God has pressed on our heart, or instead of going to small group, we decide to stay home because we feel sorry for ourselves, or you know, we need to finish that whole season of friends. We don't choose to call our family members or those people in our church that God's pressed on our hearts to call and speak to. We don't choose to help out friends, even though we have the ability and the means to pay for somebody's rent or to pay for somebody's supper, to take them a meal. And we decide, no, Lord, I'm just going to put it in the ground. And some of us have dreams and desires and gifts that God has placed on our lives, and we go, oh, for now, I'm going to put it in the ground. And maybe in 20 years when I feel better, when I feel ready, maybe then I'll do it. But what happens is the master returns. The master returns and settles his accounts with the servants. And many of us might be caught by surprise when we find that those dreams and those desires are still sitting in the ground, and the master has returned. And he's come and he's given that thing that you were called to do, that thing that you were, when you were younger or when you were on fire for God, you committed to do, and you find that he's given it to somebody else. Because those who are diligent with what they've been given will be given more. It's like at work. The reward for good work is more work. But in the kingdom of God, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. Those of us who are faithful with what God has given us will be given more to do and be able to build his kingdom. And we will be able to see our friends and our families come to know Jesus. And some of us who are just hiding that stuff in the ground, being like, no, it's fine, I'll get to it, we might find that by the time we want to spend that time with our family, our friends, and lead them to God, that it's too late. Now, I wish I had another 40 minutes to really go through everything I wanted to say this morning. But I think what's important is this encouragement. In verse 21 and verse 23, we see the master comes to his servants and he says, well done, my faithful servants. And he puts them in charge of so much more. He gives them the talents that they had, plus the ones they earned back. And he lets them work with that. And some of us in this church, we have talents that nobody knows about. Some of us have been working diligently and working hard with the stuff that God has given us, with the gifts that God has given us, with the money God's given us, and with the time. And many people will never, ever know about that until one day when the Father returns or we go to be with him. And we'll all be celebrating together. We'll all be looking and seeing, oh, but they were leading a Bible study at work, and look how many people turned to God and put their faith in God because of that. Or they were praying at their kids' school every Sunday, Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning or whenever. And look how God used that. And some of us will not know about that until we all go to be with the Father. But what it comes down to is that all of these things that God has given us is his property. Back in verse 14, it says that the master entrusted his property to the servants. They knew it wasn't for their own personal gain. They knew it wasn't theirs to just go and spend. I mean, sure, 7.5 million rand could be great to go and buy whatever I want. But if somebody gives me 7.5 million rand to do something with, there's no way I'm going to go buy myself a couple cars. It's like, yeah, it's a bit of a dodgy step. But the master gave them their talents, knowing that they would have the ability to put it to work and do the work that he required of them, build their kingdom. Many of us who are Christians, we believe that Jesus died, he rose again, and we turned around at some point in our lives and we're like, Jesus, I surrender all of this to you. The master has given everything of his to us, and we should realize that it's not our own stuff. And so I'm going to ask Darlington, I know you guys just got off the stage, but you're welcome to come back up. I actually thought Darlington should just play music in the background. That would have been great. Like a Benny Hinn type of thing, you know? But If we go back to Romans 12 and verse 1, and we can throw that up on the screen. I think it's the last slide. I read it at first. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Because worship, in reality, is not just singing of songs. It's not just coming when things are tough and saying, "God, I trust you." It's not just listening to the music on your way to work. It's giving your entire life over to God. It's surrendering all of that, all of the stuff that he's given you as a, to be a steward with. It's handing that back to him, saying, "God, all that I am is yours. All that I have is yours, and so I give it to you." I think for those of us who reflect on the things that we've been given, the gifts that we've got in our lives, it's easy for us to sometimes look at it and be like, "But that person's so much better at it." It's easy for us to sit back and say, "Oh, you know, I haven't looked at all the pros and cons, and you know, if I go pray for that person at work, you know, then they're going to think of me funny. So let me just spend 6 months with my small group praying about it, and then maybe after that person has quit their job, then maybe I'll pray for them from a distance." It doesn't work like that. The master commended the servant that took what he got and immediately went and put it to work. The master commended the servants that realized that what they had was not their own. He commended the servants that used what they had, they surrendered their own desires, and he commended the servants that put to work the things that they were given. So I'd like us all to stand this morning, and we're going to spend some time praying and singing the song that Darlington's going to sing. It talks about surrender. It talks about everything that I have belongs to God. For many of you, there are things in your hearts and in your lives that you might be reminded of that God has called you to do. There might be gifts. There might be periods of time in your week where the Holy Spirit is saying, "You promised this to me and you're not doing it." And I don't want this to be a bash on anybody this morning. I want this to be an encouragement, because the master has not returned yet. It's not too late to take those things that you've committed to him and bring them to his feet and say, "Lord, I lay it all down and I surrender it all to you." So as Darlington plays the song, and as the band sings, I'm going to open up this space for you to come and bring those things that the Holy Spirit has pressed on your heart. To come and say, "Lord, all of this is yours. And so I want to take it out of the ground, because there's still time, and I want to put it to work. I want to make sure that I'm building your kingdom where you've called me to build your kingdom." Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this parable was recorded for us, because we know as humans, we can default to just being afraid and hiding things in the ground. But Lord, we pray this morning that as we bring those things before you, that you'll come and remind us of the dreams and the desires and the gifts that you've put in our hearts. Lord, let us bring them before you, and let us use them to build your kingdom. And if anybody is here this morning and you're in this place that you have not decided to put your faith in Jesus, this is a safe space in front where you can come and pray, because Jesus did die, but he also rose again. And those of us who are Christians are so excited, because one day the master is going to come back and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together." So I invite you also, come to the front. There will be people here to pray with you or to explain with you. And you have the opportunity this morning to put your faith in Jesus as well.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.